CSRD. Ännu en förkortning som väcker känslor hos företagare. Men lugn, våra rådgivare här på PWC har koll på det som din verksamhet berörs av. Från hållbarhetslösningar och nya regelverk till affärsutveckling och ansvarsfulla AI-strategier. Välkommen till PWC.
Välkommen till Unionen.
Jo, jag undrar hur många semesterdagar jag har som projektanställd. Och vad gör jag om jag inte får något semestertillägg? Påverkar det inkomstförsäkringen? För jag har blivit varslad, till skillnad från min kollega som ofta kör härskarteknik på möten och dessutom har högre lön trots samma tjänst. Vad gör jag nu?
Okej, vi tar det från början.
Jobbigt på jobbet. Som medlem i Unionen kan du alltid prata med våra rådgivare.
Nej. Dåliga vibrationer är att gå utan byxor till jobbet. Bra vibrationer är när du inser att mobilen är i bröstfickan. Alla abonnemang för 20 kronor i månaden i 4 månader. Vimla, mobiloperatören med bra vibrationer.
We are on the record at the beginning of media number 1, volume 1.
This is the testimony of Elizabeth Holmes going on the record in San Francisco, California at 9 o'clock a.m. on July 11th, 2017. Ms. Holmes, please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Det är en tidig tisdagsmorgon i juli 2017. I ett avskalat konferensrum sitter en av USA:s för stunden mest hypade och hyllade tech-entreprenörer. Hon heter Elizabeth Holmes och är vd och grundare av blodprovsföretaget Theranos. Ett företag som de senaste åren höjts till skyarna i amerikanska medier. Företaget spås förändra sjukvården i grunden. De har utvecklat en metod för att med bara ett fåtal droppar blod analysera och identifiera allt från diabetes till cancer. Hypen är enorm och den unga vdn, Elizabeth Holmes, samlar in ofantliga belopp i investeringar och donationer. Hon hamnar på tidningen Forbes lista som en av världens yngsta kvinnliga miljardärer. Och hon jämförs med sin stora idol, Apple-grundaren Steve Jobs.
A healthcare pioneer is being compared to visionaries like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. This morning Elizabeth Holmes is part of
Elizabeth Holmes sprider mängder av glossiga tidningsomslag och sitter i oräkneliga TV-soffor. Hon går på galor, vinner priser och syns på mingelbilder med Hollywood-kändisar.
This is a revolutionary company that threatens to change healthcare the same way that Amazon changed retail or Intel and Microsoft changed computing or Apple, yes, changed the cell phone. It could be that huge.
Hon både bjuds in till och tar emot besök från Vita huset. Allt detta på grund av hennes patenterade teknologi som spås förändra det medicinska landskapet för all framtid.
Do you want to know about every element of your health? Most people would say yes.
Inför mängder av åhörare intervjuas hon på scen av USA:s tidigare president.
One more fact and then I want to call him Jack.
Bill Clinton.
You founded this company 12 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Tell him how old you were.
I was 19.
So don't worry about the future. We're in good hands. So
bland ledamöterna i Elizabeth Holmes bolagsstyrelse finns många av de tyngsta namnen inom amerikansk politik.
George Shultz, General Mattis, Henry Kissinger.
Och några av världens mest förmögna och inflytelserika människor har investerat miljontals dollar i hennes idé.
The DeVos family, the Walton family, Rupert Murdoch, even the Kraft family from the New England Patriots.
You've got this really smart female CEO who's going to do a wonderful thing for the world, right? It is a great story. You want it to work. We all want that to work.
In the San Francisco Regional Office of the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. We are officers of the commission for the purposes of this proceeding. Are you appearing here today pursuant to the subpoena?
I am.
Thank you.
Men just den här morgonen, i juli 2017, när Elizabeth Holmes slår sig ner vid det långa konferensbordet, ska hon inte berätta om sina framgångar. Hon sitter ensam på ena sidan bordet. Mitt emot henne sitter 12 advokater som strax ska ställa henne till svars. Elizabeth Holmes ska vittna under ed.
This is an investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission in the matter of Theranos, Inc. to determine whether there have been violations of certain provisions of the federal securities laws.
Den hyllade och framgångsrika Silicon Valley-entreprenören är under utredning. En utredning ledd av den amerikanska regeringen. Hon misstänks vara delaktig, eller kanske rent av drivande, i ett av de största bedrägerierna i amerikansk techhistoria. Hon riskerar upp till 20 år i fängelse. Och hennes företag, en gång värderat till 10 miljarder dollar, är nu värdelöst.
Did it concern you that a number of tests weren't working on Theranos' devices?
I know that we made mistakes.
It's a story of greed and it's a story of incredible deception.
Did you ever tell investors that you had a romantic relationship?
It's just a moral breakdown at the highest level.
I should have known that things were much wronger than they should have been.
Det här är Uppgång och fall. The Dropout. Berättelsen om Elizabeth Holmes och Theranos.
I think it's probably the most interesting fraud case I've dealt with. Bernie Madoff would be second.
And I got to be honest, even talking to you guys now, there's still a part of me that has fear.
I think they're very similar people. Smart, charming, bullies. Everyone who invested in Theranos lost it all.
This is what happens when you work to change things. First they think you're crazy, then they fight you, and then all of a sudden you change the world.
I 6 avsnitt kommer vi höra tidigare anställda på Theranos berätta. Och vi kommer höra patienter, styrelsemedlemmar och investerare. Människor som allihop på olika sätt trollbands och lurades av Elizabeth Holmes. Den här serien är en samproduktion mellan ABC Radio, Nightline och oss på Just Stories. Originalintervjuerna är i de flesta fall gjorda av den amerikanska journalisten Rebecca Jarvis. Och ni kommer höra henne ställa en del frågor i avsnitten. Glöm inte att prenumerera på Uppgång och fall i din poddspelare för att inte missa när nya avsnitt släpps. Jag heter Josefin Patsauer och det här är The Dropout, första delen. Att skapa en myt. Den här historien är kanske framförallt en berättelse om en kvinna med stora drömmar och en bergfast övertygelse om sin egen förmåga att förändra världen. Men hon är en oerfaren dropout som studerat knappt 2 år på universitetet innan hon hoppade av. Så varifrån kom hennes självförtroende? Som 9-åring skriver Elizabeth Holmes ett brev till sin pappa. Det jag vill allra mest här i livet, skriver hon, är att upptäcka något nytt. Något som mänskligheten inte visste var möjligt. Och i ett porträtt i The New Yorker beskrivs hur Elizabeth som 7-åring skissade upp en komplett ritning över en tidsmaskin. Till tidningens reporter säger hon att det som var så fantastiskt med min uppväxt var att ingen sa åt mig att jag inte kunde göra de här sakerna. Elizabeth föddes 1984 i Washington DC. Hennes mamma Noel var politiskt ombud i kongressen i Capitol Hill och hennes pappa Christian jobbade för en rad olika statliga myndigheter, även för Enron, det en gång så mäktiga energibolaget som i början av 2000-talet gick under i en av USA:s största bedrägerihärvor.
You know, this was, I think, was a family that took nice things really seriously.
Det har inte varit lätt att få personer nära Elizabeth att prata om de här första åren i hennes liv. Men journalisten Rebecca Jarvis har fått tag på en före detta vän till familjen som har en hel del att berätta om familjen Holmes tidiga år i Washington.
My name is Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, Fuse, F-U-I-S-E.
Joe Fuse är advokat och uppfinnare. Och han lär känna familjen Holmes i slutet av 80-talet när hans pappa och styvmamma flyttar in i huset bredvid deras.
When did you first meet Elizabeth Holmes?
I would have met her 20 some years ago plus. She would have been 8 to 10. Elizabeth was the daughter of a good friend of my stepmother's. They were living in Washington DC at the time, had been neighbors at one point.
Joes styvmamma Lorraine och Elisabeths mamma Noelle blir snabbt goda vänner.
They would certainly go out as a foursome, but I think the relationship was principally between Noelle and my stepmother. Her dad could be a charming guy in a kind of waspy way, well-mannered. Certainly, if he wanted to be, could be a very charming guy. The father would speak quite often about their lineage. They really took that sort of mantle of this family history very seriously indeed. But he's a, in some ways, probably one of the last of the Mohicans. I think this WASP aristocracy in the U.S. is kind of dying out.
Christian Holmes har en bakgrund inom överklassen och han är inte sen att påpeka det. Stolt över släktens historia som industrimagnater och deras livsmedelsföretag Fleischmann Yeast. Men med tiden hade företagets en gång så stora förmögenhet börjat sina. Och enligt Joe är det ett känsligt ämne för Elisabeths pappa Christian.
You know, I think he had a real sense of entitlement in terms of the sort of traditional importance of his family that it sort of eroded over the years. You know, I think this sort of seeds of, you know, Elizabeth's grandiose vision or fantasy, as it were, for her business. I think it very much connects to this paradise lost kind of family mythology.
Det ska sägas att Joe inte är helt objektiv här. Joes familj och familjen Holmes ska många år senare hamna i en infekterad konflikt över ett patent. Det ska gå så långt att Elizabeth stämmer Joes pappa Richard och hans söner. En stämning som Theranos sen vinner. Men många som är insatta i den här historien bekräftar det Joe beskriver. Reporten John Carreyrou på Wall Street Journal har bevakat Theranos i många år och också han har reflekterat över att Elizabeth tidigt tycks vara fixerad vid idén om status och pengar.
I think the parents very much yearned for those days of yore when the family, you know, was one of the richest in America, and I think Elizabeth channeled that at a young age. You know, there's an anecdote where she's 9 or 10 years old and she's asked by a relative the question that every boy and girl is asked eventually, which is, what do you want to do when you grow up? And she answers immediately, I want to be a billionaire. And the relative says, don't you want to be president? And she says, no, the president will marry me because I'll have $1 billion.
Elizabeths driv och målmedvetenhet visar sig redan i skolan. Hon är en toppstudent som löptränar och pluggar mandarin på helgerna. Hennes fysiklärare från high school, Errol Turk, beskriver henne så här.
When I think of Elizabeth Holmes, the biggest thing that comes to mind is her poise. And I remember when I had her in class, I remember just the way that she carried herself, almost like a dancer carries herself on stage with this kind of can-do attitude, chin up. So she was always very composed and, you know, even when she had questions, even when things were confusing, she just still had this kind of presence about her that stuck out in my mind. She's the kind of student that I could hand my car keys to, and I know it'd come back safe and with a tank full of gas.
När det är dags för Elizabeth att söka till universitetet är valet enkelt. Hon vet precis var hon vill gå. Stanford University, i hjärtat av Silicon Valley.
So Elizabeth was brought to me by a person who'd been the former president of Panasonic, saying to me that she was this brilliant girl and she had this wonderful business idea.
Det här är Phyllis Gardner, professor i medicin på Stanford sedan 30 år. Hon har sett många begåvade studenter komma och gå. Första gången Phyllis möter Elizabeth är när Elizabeth som 19-åring söker upp henne för att pitcha sin nya affärsidé.
The idea was simply that she was going to make a microfluidic patch to sample blood to test for infectious organisms and then deliver antibiotics through the same microfluidic channels. Now, that's not possible because antibiotics are not potent, and I don't want to go into the details. But I kept saying to her, that doesn't work. The reason antibiotics hang over you in bags of fluid when you're doing it this way is because they're not potent, and you can't put it through a microfluidic channel.
Phyllis förklarar för Elizabeth att det hon vill göra är omöjligt. Hennes idé är spännande, men för att förverkliga den så skulle hon behöva ändra på fysiken och kemins lagar. Det är svidande kritik från Phyllis Gardner, men den har inte alls den nedslående effekt man hade kunnat förvänta sig. Tvärtom tycks den fort rinna av Elizabeth.
Just kind of blinked her eyes and nodded and left. It was just a 19-year-old talking who'd taken one course in microfluidics and she thought she was going to make something of it.
Elizabeth ger inte upp. Hon söker stöd för sin banbrytande idé hos en annan av sina lärare, Channing Robertson. En av de mest respekterade och omtyckta professorerna på Stanfords ingenjörsutbildning.
All my exams are take home. Take as much time as you want. That's the way life is. You're going to be given problems in life and you're going to be able to go sit someplace quiet and think about them and not have the stress of an exam. I did horrible on exams.
I förhör berättar Channing Robertson om hur det gick till när han först lärde känna Elizabeth.
I first met her when she came to my office when she was a freshman at Stanford, and I believe it was the fall of 2002. She inquired us whether or not she could work in my lab.
Under ett skollov ägnar Elizabeth 5 dagar åt att sammanställa en patentansökan för sin idé. Ett slags plåster med förmågan att såväl testa patienter för sjukdomar som att utsöndra vissa läkemedel. Trots att idén bara är just en idé, teoretiskt beskriven men inte praktiskt testad, så imponerar den på professor Robertson. Han tror på Elizabeth. Men Phyllis Gardner är inte övertygad.
He was her mentor and he was heavily involved in the company from day one. At which point I became quite disappointed.
In him?
Mm. And I've told him so twice.
And what did he say?
He's an affable enough guy who says it's going to work and everything's fine.
I introduced her to a couple of venture capitalists that I felt would sit down and chat with her about her vision and her aspirations.
So how did Elizabeth Holmes convince you to become a director?
Didn't take much convincing. I was very intrigued by her vision and felt it would be a really interesting proposition to be engaged with. She asked me if I would be on her board and I said yes.
Många år efter deras första möte intervjuas Channing Robertson i tidskriften Bloomberg Business Week. Då säger han så här: jag tror att vissa människor bär på förutsättningarna att bli en Mozart, Beethoven, Newton, Lavoisier, Einstein eller Da Vinci. Och att de är sällsynta, några få i varje generation. De av dessa människor som sen blir forskare, konstnärer eller musiker tror jag har en alldeles särskild förmåga. Och det blev allt tydligare för mig att hon hade det. Jag befann mig i närheten av en person som inte liknade någon eller något jag tidigare upplevt. Precis som Steve Jobs hoppar Elizabeth av universitetet för att starta sitt eget företag. Hon väljer namnet Theranos, en blandning av orden terapi och diagnos. Så börjar hon leta efter finansiering. Flera av de riskkapitalbolag som brukar investera i vård och medicinsk forskning tackar nej. I de kretsarna finns många läkare och forskare som inte köper Elizabeths idé. De tror helt enkelt inte att den är genomförbar. Men Elizabeth lyckas övertyga några förmögna familjer att investera miljontals dollar i Theranos. Så finansieringen börjar falla på plats. Och i Channing Robertson har hon en ansedd Stanford-professor som backar henne. Så i mars 2004, efter knappt 2 år på universitetet, hoppar Elizabeth av studierna på Stanford för att fokusera helhjärtat på sitt nya bolag. Men nu har själva grundidén förändrats. Istället för medicinska plåster är hennes plan att skapa en portabel blodprovsmaskin som med bara 1 eller 2 droppar blod skulle kunna göra avancerade blodanalyser. Och med tanke på att miljoner människor lämnar blodprover varje dag är det här en idé med potential att förändra världen. Patienten skulle inte längre behöva utsättas för den smärta och det krångel som traditionella blodprov innebar. Inget mer letande efter vener, inga felstick eller blåmärken. Med Theranos nya teknik är allt som behövs ett litet stick i fingret.
en enda droppe blod för att utföra komplexa blodanalyser.
I actually originally did not intend to drop out of Stanford, but I wasn't going to any classes and I was spending all of my time talking to VCs. And so then logistically it just seemed like a waste of money because I was, you know, taking 20 units and I wasn't showing up. So then I just made a decision that I was going to figure out how to make it work.
I februari 2005, mindre än ett år efter att hon startat sitt företag, har Elisabeth fått in 6 miljoner dollar i investeringar. Och hennes gamla Stanford-professor Channing Robertson har börjat jobba i Theranos bolagsstyrelse på heltid. Och Elisabeth ska rekrytera fler namnkunniga styrelsemedlemmar. En av dem är Donald Lucas Senior, känd för att ha ett öga för unga begåvningar. Han var tidig med att backa Larry Ellison, grundaren av den amerikanska databasjätten Oracle. Och han tycker sig se en liknande potential hos Elisabeth. I den här intervjun, som spelades in som en del i ett projekt på Berkeley, University of California, år 2009, hör vi Don Lucas.
This young lady comes in, I think she probably was 21 years old, and it left Stanford, didn't graduate. She had a company called Theranos. And I thought this was going to be a short conversation. She had no background in business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that's quite presumptuous for somebody to say, I'm going to be president of the company. But
yeah, yeah.
There's an important distinction. Her great-grandfather was an entrepreneur, very successful. So that was one side. That's the entrepreneurial side. But she was in the medical side. Ah, it turns out later, the hospital in there where they lived is named after her great-uncle. So she came by both of these. The two things that are necessary here, one medicine and the other entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
She was attractive too.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Och det är under 2005 som Elisabeth börjar påstå häpnadsväckande saker i medierna om de banbrytande egenskaperna hos Theranos teknik.
I'm Moira Gunn, and this is a special Tech Nation audio segment. You're listening to our original unedited interview with Elisabeth Holmes, president and CEO of Theranos.
Now tell us exactly how big is it, what does it do, what do you got to do if you're using it?
So it's a handheld device, and it's fully integrated. The only thing you have to do is hold your finger, or you could actually do any part of your hand or your arm up toward the device.
So it extracts a little from your hand?
Exactly. It's a little teeny needle that pulls a little teeny drop of blood, and when it gets the drop of blood, basically it runs it through what we call a biochip, which separates out all of the cells and other types of analytes in your blood, which could traditionally clog a biosensor, and then in real time runs many different chemistries.
Hon är karismatisk och övertygande. Många trollbinds av hennes person. Och själv verkar Elisabeth förstå kraften i en bra historia. Till exempel återkommer hon ofta till den här rörande anekdoten om hennes farbror.
I grew up spending summers and the holidays with my uncle. I remember his love of crossword puzzles and trying to teach us to play football. I remember how much he loved the beach. I remember how much I loved him. He was diagnosed one day with skin cancer, which all of a sudden was brain cancer, and in his bones. He didn't live to see his son grow up, and I never got to say goodbye.
Elisabeth pratar gärna om hur det känns att förlora en närstående, och kraften i den känslan blir till ett slags mantra som hon upprepar om och om igen.
To create a world in which people don't have to say goodbye too soon. They say goodbye too soon. No one ever has to say, if only I'd known sooner.
Elisabeth beskriver hur hennes teknologi kan rädda livet på soldater i ambulanshelikoptrar och på slagfälten i Afghanistan. Hur den kan hjälpa människor över hela världen.
We see a world in which no one has to go through the pain of traditional phlebotomy. I remember reading an email from the father of a little girl. He talked about taking her to the hospital and watching as they stuck her soft tissue again and again in the search for what he called the tiny, invisible vein.
Elisabeth vill bli sedd som en revolutionär. Hon vill göra avtryck, förändra människors liv för all framtid. Personer i Elisabeths närhet vittnar om att hon under den här tiden ser på sig själv som nästa Steve Jobs. Theranos växer snabbt. För att förverkliga idén.
CSRD. Ännu en förkortning som väcker känslor hos företagare. Men lugn, våra rådgivare här på PwC har koll på det som din verksamhet berörs av. Från hållbarhetslösningar och nya regelverk till affärsutveckling och ansvarsfulla AI-strategier. Välkommen till PwC. Upptäck hyllade XPeng G9 och P7 hos Bilia. Våra produktspecialister hjälper dig att hitta rätt modell för just dig. Boka din provkörning på bilia.se/XPeng redan idag. Välkommen till Bilia, din specialist på XPeng.
Ja?
Hallå? Pizzeria Grandiosa? Jag vill ha en Grandiosa capricciosa och en pepperoni.
Haha, något mer?
En kaffefilter.
Ja, okej, ses samma.
Grandiosa, hela Sveriges hempizza. Den med mycket på.
Genom ett avancerat stick i fingret blodprov behöver Elisabeth rekrytera ett stort team av techkunniga. Och hon vill att Theranos, precis som Apple, ska sätta produktens utformning och design i första rummet.
Elizabeth was very obsessed with Apple. A lot of the folk that she hired during our period were ex-Apple.
Det här är Anna Ariola, före detta produktdesigner på Apple. Hon älskar minimalistisk design och var en av dem som var med och designade iPhone. Hon blir en av Elisabeths första rekryteringar och en stor fjäder i hatten för Theranos.
When I was asked to meet this particular person who is leading this stealth startup, I didn't know who it was at the time, and it was a bit of a clandestine meeting, and it turned out to be Elizabeth Holmes.
Första gången Anna träffar Elisabeth fascineras hon som så många andra av Elisabeths passion, energi och hennes hypnotiska förtroendeingivande röst.
We had a great conversation. It sounded like an incredibly compelling mission that was basically really thinking about the betterment of humanity. She's incredibly passionate. She's very energetic, very expressive with her hands. It has a very unique, distinctive voice that you just kind of get drawn into what it is that she's conveying, and her conviction and her belief really shines through. She really did believe she was changing the world, as did we. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to jump ship, and we jumped ship, and unfortunately, I left 15,000 shares at Apple, but c'est la vie. Life continues on.
Som chefsdesigner är Anna ansvarig för utseendet på Theranos blodprovsmaskin. En maskin som går under namnet The Edison. Det är en svart rektangulär låda, inte större än en hemmaskrivare, med en blå display på framsidan. Elisabeth vill att displayen ska likna iPhones display och att den svarta lådan ska föra tankarna till tidiga Mac-datorer. Elisabeth har en tydlig minimalistisk vision för Theranos, men hennes egen stil är vid den här tiden långt ifrån minimalistisk, berättar Anna.
So she would wear these frumpy Christmas sweaters, you know, things you would only see during the holiday season, and I was like, huh, okay. But how the clothing came into play, she was very curious about Steve's attire, and I explained to her that he was inspired by Sony's heritage of having Issey Miyake come in and create a lot of the line manager apparel, and that eventually led Steve to get the Issey Miyake black turtleneck that is historically known. And so I pointed that out to her, and then I think she went off and tracked down who Issey Miyake was, and the rest is couture history, per se. She did change her aesthetic, and I think it was for the best.
Hur som helst, det tar inte lång tid innan Elisabeth börjar klä sig i svarta polotröjor, precis som Steve Jobs. Många, bland andra Elisabeths tidigare Stanford-professor Phyllis Gardner, säger att också hennes röst på kort tid genomgår en dramatisk förändring till en djup, mer förtroendeingivande bas.
When she came to me, she didn't have a low voice.
She didn't?
Nope.
What was her voice like when she came to you?
It was just like a typical undergrad student. When I next saw her again, she says with this low voice, and I'm like, oh my god. It was quite awkward.
You were thrown.
It was different.
We didn't know that it wasn't her voice until much later. In all of my interactions with her, she never fell out of character. That was her voice. But other people that I worked with actually had caught her fall out of voice. I think it was at one of the company parties, and maybe she had a little bit too much to drink or whatnot, but she fell out of character and exposed that that wasn't necessarily her true voice. Maybe she needed it to be more convincing to project a persona within a room amongst male VCs. I'm not really quite sure.
Och det finns fler beteenden hos Elisabeth som förvånar Anna.
You know, often I'd come into work really early because I have kids, and so I was usually one of the first people to arrive at the office. Elizabeth might have beat me before, but we sometimes would pull up in the parking lot together, and I just remember she had a unique private sense. She was rocking and slamming her head to hip-hop music, just fully rocking out, and I was like, huh, I don't think I was meant to see that.
Elisabeth fortsätter att locka över personal från Apple. Och hon lyckas rekrytera flera av Anas gamla kollegor. Justin Maxwell och Adam Vollmer börjar på Theranos kort efter Anna.
Let's talk about what you were each hired to do at Theranos. So Justin, starting with you, what were you hired to do for Theranos?
They hired me with the fanciest title I'd ever held, which was the Director of Human-Centered Design / Development. And so I wasn't really told what I would be doing other than I'd be world-changing technology.
Justin och Adam ingår i Anas arbetslag och jobbar med designen av The Edison.
Anna and others involved in my recruiting, having hyped it up so much, I had just gone in there with this expectation that I was meeting brilliance. And so that thinking that I was meeting the next Steve Jobs, next Zuckerberg, something like that, that just created this impression of I was in awe of this person's drive. So for me, this was something that could make a positive dent on humanity.
Adam är ingenjör och ska jobba med mjukvaran i blodprovsmaskinen.
Generally, I was like, yeah, this is somebody I want to come work for. We wanted to see her become that billion-dollar leader. Like, everybody wants to work for the next Steve Jobs.
Men det dröjer inte länge innan Justin inser att produkten som han anlitats för att designa är långt ifrån färdig. Det finns fortfarande ingen teknologi att fylla den Apple-inspirerade lådan med.
Like, there was an overall feeling of like, we have absolutely no need for Apple designers here. That didn't make sense at first, but then as we started to learn from people saying the tech doesn't work or the science isn't matching up, then we understood, oh, right, that's why you don't want us here. It's not because you don't like us as people. It's that, like, we actually can't provide value to this company right now if the foundation isn't working.
Dessutom, berättar Justin och Adam, blir det tydligt att Elisabeth medvetet skapat en stuprörsorganisation där ingen av medarbetarna har insyn i någon annans område. Och de beläggs med tystnadslöften, förbjuds att sprida vidare sånt som enligt Elisabeth är affärshemligheter. Resultatet blir en arbetsmiljö där den ena handen inte vet vad den andra gör.
Yeah, it was beyond micromanaging. It was like actively kind of trying to foster this competition, or I don't know how.
It was a complete distrust for the organization that she'd built under her.
Men trots kaoset som råder på Theranos vid den här tiden så gör Elisabeth ännu en tung rekrytering från Apple. Avi Tivanian. Han var Steve Jobs högra hand. Han ledde mjukvaruutvecklingen för Mac OS 10. Han har till och med en roll i filmen om Steve Jobs liv.
Avi Tivanian is our chief software designer and he wrote a demo program. It's like we built a great car, we haven't built the engine. So we put a golf cart battery in there to make it go for a little bit.
Avi ansluter till Theranos styrelse 2006. Men han blir snabbt frustrerad över vad som möter honom där.
I think what she didn't expect was that I would actually ask a lot of questions and that if things weren't going as they should be going, that I would ask tough questions.
How would she respond when you would ask tough questions?
You know, she was really good at, I would say, deflecting them. So it was generally probably, I would say, more of a non-answer or an evasive answer, which is, we don't have the contract right now, maybe I can get that for you later, things like that.
Och AV är inte den enda som blir förvirrad av hur företaget sköts. Folk anställs och sparkas i snabb takt. Här är den tidigare Apple-designern Justin igen.
Elizabeth did do a great job of recruiting amazing people. I would watch those people that I trusted disappear. Our office was right next to the general counsel and the head of business development, both of whom were people I just had tremendous admiration for. They were extremely sharp and knew the industry very well, and they just vanished.
And then I think like 2 weeks after I started, the CFO was just like promptly fired or just disappeared, right? And that was disconcerting.
Och Anna, Theranos chefsdesigner, lägger märke till samma sak.
She did not want to hear other people's opinions. She wanted positive results. I think that, you know, anyone who basically told Elizabeth no and disagreed with her perspective and point of view, you were immediately terminated. It was just a very unusual environment. There were posts to Glassdoor's website from employees where they equated it to a South American dictatorship or a drug cartel.
How would you describe the culture of Theranos? Justin?
First, watching people that I really trusted vanish, and then actually noticing that this person is willing to lie to me about extremely trivial, unimportant things.
And how do you know she lied?
Because we were discussing some product design over email, and she was expecting me to stay in the office late to finish it up. And she said something to the effect of, you know, like, I can't help with that right now, but I will get back to you when I'm in the office tomorrow. And she was actually just in an office right down the hall from me. And
you could see her sending you that email.
And so I walked over to her and had a bit of an argument with her and then walked back to my office. And she stormed after me and came in and shut the door behind me and said, don't ever walk off on me again.
But did she acknowledge that she had lied to you?
Of course not.
Samtidigt som designteamet från Apple jobbar fram designen till en teknologi som inte finns, så jobbar Elisabeth med att sälja in den ofärdiga produkten till läkemedelsindustrin. Och så händer något som väcker en oro hos Anna. Elisabeth övertygar ett stort läkemedelsföretag att låta Theranos provköra sin teknik inom ramen för en vetenskaplig studie på patienter med obotlig cancer.
There were patients who were third and fourth stage oncology cancer patients at the University of Tennessee that had given up their blood to test this device. We had gotten word from Adam Vollmer, who was our mechanical engineer working on the internal mechanism for the Edison device, that light was seeping in, and with light seeping in, it corrupted the blood telemetry data, thus corrupting the data. It was a very unfortunate situation.
Anna, som ansvarar för designen och utseendet, får veta från Adam, som arbetar med mjukvaran, att maskinen inte fungerar som den ska. Den ger fortfarande felaktiga blodanalyser och är långt ifrån redo att användas på patienter med dödlig cancer.
And as it turned out, like, we had all this very sensitive chemistry that dozens of people were working on, and it could be as precise as you wanted, but if you screwed up the introduction of the blood into this cartridge, it was like game over. You would get a wildly wrong result, right? But I think we all knew from where we sat that, like, it seemed like we were a very long way away from having a working product. Our going into the study felt utterly premature relative to where we were at. They just weren't, like, we weren't generating reliable, reproducible data.
Men vad Theranos anställda inte känner till är att testresultaten aldrig var tänkta att användas som underlag för cancerpatienternas behandling. Testerna görs bara i forskningssyfte, men den informationen undanhåller Elisabeth för de flesta på Theranos.
Did you raise a red flag? Did you internally say, I think this is a problem?
That sort of feedback just went, like, generally ignored. After enough cycles of that, it just felt like there were people like myself and others who disagreed with a lot of these decisions, and that just was being overlooked again and again.
Anna konfronterar också Elisabeth.
That information was suppressed, and so I said, I'm going to take this to Elizabeth directly and have a conversation with her, of which I did. And she basically conveyed to me that I should not intervene, that this is an incredibly critical juncture in the company's current fundraising. And I was like, that's unacceptable from an ethical perspective. I just cannot stomach it. And I confronted her with this information, and she gave me an ultimatum. Suppress it and continue on as business as usual. Or I said I was resigning and I decided to resign. And I'd slip my resignation letter underneath her door and under the head of HR's door. And I left for home. She inevitably found out that I had resigned. And she frantically tried calling me. I would not take her phone calls. I just literally had nothing I wanted to do with that company anymore.
Anas uppsägning kommer som en blixt från klar himmel för hennes tidigare rekryter Adam och Justin.
Anna just said, you know, Elizabeth is lying. She told everyone the tech in this situation worked and it didn't work at all. And I'm going to go be a full-time chef for my family.
Men det ska inte dröja länge innan de också lämnar skeppet. När Justin slutar skickar han två ledarskapsböcker till Elisabeth tillsammans med en ovanligt skarp avskedsansökan.
Do you mind reading, starting on that second paragraph?
Hi, I'm resigning. Good luck, and please do read those books, watch The Office, and believe in the people who disagree with you. I wish I could say better things, but I think you know exactly what is going on at Theranos. Lying is a disgusting habit, and it flows through the conversations here like it's our own currency, but I really truly believe you know it already, and for some reason I can't figure out, you allow it to continue. I feel like I owe you this bad attempt at an exit interview, since we have no HR to officially record it. Justin Maxwell.
Många år senare möter Justin Elisabeth igen.
Yeah, there was this point in, I think, 2012, and I was standing in a CVS covered in my own blood, having just been hit by a car, and I turn and I was picking up like Vicodin or something, and Elizabeth's right behind me, and she's like, hi, Justin, totally regardless of the fact that like I'd obviously just, you know, been hit by a car. I was on a bike, and she just says, you know, we'd really benefit from having you in the company right now. It's, you know, a shame that things turned out the way that they did or whatever. Just thinking like, okay, it's really good seeing you, Elizabeth, you know, thanks or whatever.
She didn't acknowledge in any way.
No, there was just
that,
like,
you had just been hit by a car.
No, it was so absurd. It's just one walk.
Avi Tuvanian, mannen som kallat Steve Jobs högra hand, stöter på liknande tillitsproblem i företaget. Vid ett tillfälle ifrågasätter han ett förslag som går ut på att Theranos ska föra över en andel av sina aktier till en ideell stiftelse. Det låter kanske harmlöst, men det skulle i praktiken innebära att Elisabeth fick ännu mer kontroll över företaget.
Because by controlling the foundation, she would have voting control of the shares. It really didn't make any sense to me, and it wasn't that big a deal in the grand scheme of things, other than it didn't make any sense. Word got back to her, I think, that I raised an objection to this, and I think this was like the last straw for her and for me.
Elisabeth får höra om Avis missnöje från Donald Lucas, styrelseledamoten vi hörde tidigare i programmet, han som hjälpt Oracle-grundaren Larry Ellisons karriär.
Then Elizabeth goes dark on me, and Don Lucas called me. So I went to visit him, and he said, you know, Elizabeth would like you to resign from the board, cutting to the chase. He literally said, you ask too many questions.
Vid det här laget är AV ordentligt irriterad, och nu börjar han på allvar ifrågasätta flera av Elisabeth och Theranos påståenden.
And it was like, oh, something is very wrong here. All these promises, none of them have happened. All these people involved, they're all gone. And nothing even lined up. And so I pulled this all together, all this information together. I printed it all out. I said, Don, okay, I'm going to give you a choice. I think that there is a chance this company can make this product work. And I would love to stick around with you and help you to make it work. And we probably need to revisit how, you know, Elizabeth's role and everything else and do a few things. I'm happy to stick around and do that. Or if you want, I'll resign. Your choice. He said, I want you to resign. It was like out of a movie.
And then, were you surprised that he said, I'd like for you to resign?
I shouldn't have been, but I was. And I was, the reason I was surprised was because I had done all this work to find so many things that were clearly broken, many of which, to me, were fixable. And I guess I had just naively assumed that Don would listen, but he was just, his goal then, I think, was just to support Elizabeth, and he believed everything that she said. Don honestly believed that she was the next Steve Jobs.
Så AV säger helt enkelt upp sig. Men mötet slutar inte där. Donald Lucas vill ha en sista sak från AV. Hans underskrift.
It actually gets weirder. So I tell Don, I'm going to resign. Have the lawyers send me the paperwork. I'll sign it and send it in. As I get out and I push the paper to him, give it to him. As I get up to walk out the door, Don says to me, oh, before you go, I need you to sign something else. I'm like, what do you need me to sign? And he says, well, Elizabeth is going to buy some shares from another founder in a private transaction. And I'm like, Don, I'm not just going to blindly sign something. I'm not even sure that makes sense. And so then I get up and try and leave again. He says, oh, one more thing. I need you to sign your own rights away. I'm like, this is getting ridiculous. And I'm like, I don't even know what this is about. Just have the lawyers contact me and I'll figure it out later. On Christmas Eve that year, as I'm going back and forth with the lawyer, it was literally at like 11 p.m. on Christmas Eve. The general counsel of the company sends me an email saying, we need you to sign this. And oh, by the way, it's come to our attention that you've been disparaging the company and saying negative things to people in general about the company. And a company in our stage cannot afford to be disparaged like this, essentially saying they're going to sue me unless I sign this agreement to give up my rights. Then this is Christmas Eve, I'm getting this email. So
they threatened to sue you on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, basically. They came about that close from I don't think it was a literal threat, but it was pretty close.
AV rådgör med en god vän som är jurist och bestämmer sig för att ge efter och skriva under dokumenten.
I would have won, there's no question. I think it would have kind of exposed her and exposed the company for, I don't want to say being a fraud, but for not being totally legit. And he said to me, what, is that really your responsibility? And do you want to spend all this money in a lawsuit just to do that? He's like, they're probably going to go out of business anyway, right? And I said, you're right. And so the next day I just signed the forms and, you know, wiped my hands of it.
So you were done with Theranos?
I was done with Theranos. I had seen so many things that were bad go on. I would never expect that anyone would behave the way that she behaved as a CEO. And believe me, I worked for Steve Jobs. I saw some crazy things. But Elizabeth took it to a new level with, you know, personal attacks, threats of lawsuits.
Nyckelpersoner som säger upp sig eller går på dagen i affekt. Förlusten av mannen som kallats för Steve Jobs högra hand. Det hade förmodligen varit tillräckligt för att knäcka de flesta startups. Men inte Theranos. De lyckas hela tiden rekrytera nya förmågor. Och allt det här hände nära 9 år innan företaget började knaka i fogarna på allvar. Det är svårt att förstå hur det var möjligt om allt det AV berättar är sant. Hur kunde det pågå så länge? Och hur var det möjligt för Elisabeth att samtidigt bygga upp en slags stjärnstatus? I nästa avsnitt.
Did you ever tell investors that you and Mr. Balwani had a romantic relationship at the time that you were asking them to invest in Theranos?
No.
Yeah, there was definitely like a culture of fear. I don't know exactly how it started, but it was definitely there.
Du har lyssnat på Uppgång och fall, The Dropout, en samproduktion mellan ABC Radio, Nightline och oss på Just Stories. Originalversionen av The Dropout är skriven och producerad av Taylor Dunn, Victoria Thompson och Rebecca Jarvis. Vi som jobbat med den här produktionen från Just Stories är Blenda Zettervall Klingert, Josefin Patsauer, Joel Silberstein Hont, David Mer och Gustav Sondén. Elisabeth Holmes, Lorraine Fuse, Channing Robertson och Donald Lucas har inte svarat eller avböjt att kommentera innehållet i den här podcasten.
Känner du igen en riktigt smart deal när du hör den? 4 säckar plantjord för 100 kronor. Byggmax. Var smart. Handla billigt.
Du, åker på ekonomin. Har han träffat någon? Han ser så happy ut varje onsdag.
Det är nog Ikea.
Har du dejtat någon där eller?
Han säger att han bara äter.
Ja, det är ju nice alltså.
Missa inte att onsdagar är happy days på Ikea. Fram till 31 maj äter du som är eller blir Ikea Family-medlem alla varmrätter till halva priset. Välkommen till Ikea.
Hej, Susanne Axel här. När du gör som jag och listar dig på en av Krys vårdcentraler får du en fast läkarkontakt som kan din sjukdomshistoria. Du får träffa erfarna specialister, tillgång till lättakuten och så kan du chatta med vårdpersonalen. Så gör ditt viktigaste val idag. Lista dig hos Kry.